As you, at least most of you will have heard, our pilgrimage group to South Africa has been back now 2 weeks. Father Casey preached last Sunday, and darn it, wouldn't you know, he took the image I was going to begin my sermon this Sunday with to use to start his sermon. Well, that's okay, I'll use it too. He spoke of trees and growth and how that kind of growth and tree and life of a tree can be a metaphor for all that's involved in Christian living. So my wife, Cherry, and I were part of that group, thanks to a generous gift, I must add, from Transfiguration back when I retired. We were part of that pilgrimage, and there I saw a tree that inspired me. On the second day at Happy Home School, of which our church and school are the major contributors since 2001, we began our morning off in a corner of the property where there was a tree and about 30 feet away an awful-looking corrugated steel shed. It was under that tree in the tiny village of Justicia, seven tiny children and a few volunteer teachers were the beginning of what became the school. These were children mostly orphaned by HIV/AIDS. A woman who was friends of our parish's DeBrain family drove past that spot frequently on her way to and from work and kept noticing that cluster of children and finally stopped to find out what was happening. She told her friend Nikki DeBrain, who worked then for the Africa Foundation. Nikki told her parents here, and they told Transfiguration, and the whole thing began. I think I've got that about right. Yes, okay, thank you. Now, 180 children are in four permanent classroom buildings with real kitchen building and administrative building and, to the pilgrims' relief, real restrooms. Not the best, but good. And now, through Transfiguration's latest gift, which was presented there, that when we were there, there will be a building shortly which will house daily care for the infants of working parents. It was not just our church and our school, Parish Episcopal School, through which this was done. From the very beginning, the community of Justicia's people were also engaged because the principal of their school and of the Africa Foundation is a hand up, not a hand out. Right at the beginning, if they were going to get any South African government support for their infant school, the first thing the government required was that they provide a shelter for the school more than just a tree, so that those very, very poor people scrounged around and found discarded sheets of corrugated steel and cast-off pieces of lumber to build the little dirt-floored shack that was still there, though now used just for storage and a picture of history. Happy Home School, a place of joy, teaching, and community life, lifts one's heart today, and thanks to those first steps, you and I are part of it and remain part of it. Every day that our pilgrims spent at Happy Homes, we were told again and again that Transfiguration and PES are part of them and they are part of us. Those of you who know Bridget and Tony would be charmed to hear the school folks call them Mommy Bridget and Father Tony. From that group of seven orphans under a tree, we and they have grown to be intertwined like leaves and roots of a living, growing organism, bound together, continuing to live and grow. It's much the same as what underlay Paul's writing to the Second Corinthians, the passage we heard today, at least a portion of a longer passage on that theme, about when he is reminding the Corinthian church that as Christians, we all live in an intertwined relationship with each other. You see, the church in Jerusalem was suffering a long period of poverty and famine, And the church in Corinth, which was at that time one of the wealthiest cities in the entire Roman Empire, had more than enough. The passage we heard is perhaps the first stewardship letter written by a pastor to a Christian church. And Paul based it on the mutual life of all God's people. You see, the Corinthians had started a fundraiser a year earlier and sort of got sidetracked, or maybe, I don't know if I can afford to send anything. And now Paul is trying to push them to complete the fundraiser. Sounds a bit familiar to church life still today. Some things don't change. But notice that his whole letter to them is based on the interrelatedness of their life as Corinthian Christians with the life of Jerusalem Christians. That each has something to give to the other. Like we and Happy Homes each depend on the life of each other for our lives. In the South African Bantu language, there is a word for that kind of interrelatedness. It is Ubuntu. Our group reflected a great deal on the meaning of this term in our pilgrimage. Here's a definition by Archbishop Desmond Tutu in a 1999 book. A person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good, based from a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs to a greater whole and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished. It is the essence of being human. Ubuntu speaks particularly about the fact that you can't exist as a human being in isolation. We pilgrims found ourselves caught up in the concept of Ubuntu at Happy Homes as we had a few days, and as we had a few days before when we spent time with Bishop Tutu renewing our parish's long relationship of love and prayer with him, which began when he was here with us in 2006. And then the next day, in a deeply moving event in prison, we discovered even more the depths of Ubuntu. We visited Polesmore Prison, assuming, at least I did, and I think all of us, that we were there primarily just to see one of the places where Nelson Mandela had spent his 27 years in prison for advocating political, social, and economic equality and freedom for all the races and ethnic groups of South Africa. And indeed, while there, we did visit the cell where he was held. But the unexpected experience was when we met Jonathan, the prison chaplain, who, along with his wife, leads a project of developing restorative justice for convicted criminals and those awaiting trial. Please look up restorative justice. Learn something more about it. A different concept from the retributive justice practiced by ours and most other nations in the world, about movements to be involved in rebuilding the lives both of those who have done crime and of their victims. But back to our discovery. We went on a long walk led by Jonathan through many barred gates and corridors of the ugly rundown prison, past groups of prisoners, and finally into a large echoey room where 20 women prisoners were seated in a half circle of chairs and we in the other half. It was really uncomfortable. I mean, we were there sort of staring at them and they staring at us. All we knew was that we were going to observe Jonathan as he introduced these women for the first time to the idea of restoration and of being reconciled with their victims and with their own lives, not in order, in most cases, to get their sentence reduced, but to help them recognize that in their own hurt and pain, in often abusive and poverty-stricken lives, they had also caused the pain and injustice suffered by the victims of their actions. I and others of us were uncomfortable, but then we were moved, as these women expressed in their faces, postures, and in their words, hurt, loss, shame, fear, and at some points, hope. Hope to see their baby again. hope to see their grown son, hope to be restored to relationship with those they had hurt. And then it happened. As one of us wrote, okay, it was my wife, Cherry. She says, then came the moment when we had heard from the women, it was time to go, and Jonathan turned to us and said, would any of you like to say something? Cherry writes, big silence. Then I realized my arm was raised. I didn't plan for that to happen. It seemed I did have something to say, but I did not know at that time what. And then I spoke. As I looked around this room, I said, I see so much anger, I see so much sadness, I see bewilderment, but mostly I see courage. What courage it took for you to share your lives with a group of strangers. I know that you have the courage to work through this process and that you will succeed. Thank you for sharing your lives with us. Cherry goes on and says, a few moments later, I realized we were all standing. I didn't know, she didn't recognize, none of us did, that we were doing that until suddenly we were up. And that the women were following the South African custom of going all the way around the circle, shaking hands with everyone. Across the circle, I saw our member Karen O'Rear shaking hands with someone, and then, as if to say, what the heck, they were hugging each other. I remember thinking, how lovely. Then, as if from nowhere, a woman from whom I had felt the most indescribable anger at the moment we walked into the room was standing in front of me. I just stared at her. She put her hands lightly on my shoulders and said, do not cry for us. We will be all right. I didn't realize tears were running down my cheeks. She then, very gently, wiped away the tears with her thumbs and, lighter than a butterfly, kissed my right cheek. She then hugged me tightly, and I said into her ear, I'm not crying for you. I'm crying because I love you. And then she was gone, and I never saw her again, and I can't remember her name. By that time, all of us were having similar experiences as we hugged and cried and promised to be part of their support. And you'll be hearing more about this, I promise, because here in our homes we continue to pray for those women and their chaplains, but also because Transfiguration that day committed itself to support financially some part of the cost of their restoration and reconciliation. In today's gospel reading, we heard about a woman in the crowd who was suffering an illness that not only impaired her life, but because of the customs and the rules of life in that time, it made her a social outcast from her world and had for more than 12 years. We heard about how she reached out and touched Jesus and was healed and restored. That morning at Polesmore Prison, we and those women reached out and touched Jesus and each other and experienced healing and restoration. That is an indelible memory for me and for all the pilgrims. You see, we, people of God, are one with each other because we are one with Jesus. You and I are at Happy Home School every day, and not just because of the big school sign that says sponsored by the Church of the Transfiguration, Dallas, Texas. We are there in the play and learning and singing and joy of their children and teachers and parents, not just in the buildings we have provided. You and I are at Polesmore Prison learning to live lives that are restored and healed, they and us and we and him, because we're bound together inextricably in the life of God. We are bound up in bonds of Ubuntu as well with those nearer, with the poor and homeless people of our own city and communities, with the prisoners and their victims in our nation and state, in the lives of parents and their children at our nation's borders, with our nation as it continues to struggle to build the promise of freedom and liberty that our founders were striving for on that first Independence Day. Ubuntu, I am because you are, because all are. Without you and all others, I am not. Here at this altar and in the waters of baptism, we are made one with all people and with God. Most every day on our trip, we prayed a well-loved South African prayer. God bless Africa. Guard her children. Guide her leaders. Give her peace. For Jesus' sake, amen. May we also pray this prayer for our nation and for all the peoples of all the nations. God bless America and all nations and all people. Guard all children, guide all leaders, and give us and all people peace for Jesus' sake. And may God make our prayer more than words and give us the Spirit of Jesus. Amen.